Glad to see every single person here today. It is so good to see you guys. Especially you, yes, especially you, Craig. From the peanut gallery in back. Especially you. Oh my goodness. Today's message is entitled Joining Jesus. Joining Jesus. If you're taking notes, and I hope that you would, go ahead and write on the top of your paper or in your pen, your phone, whatever you take notes on, your skin. Joining Jesus. That's where it starts. Joining Jesus. It wasn't until recently, I would say, that I was so excited to realize what our area codes stood for. That we have church in the 805. I don't know why it's taken me 5 years to look up the numbers of the meaning of this area code in the Bible and the history of it. But it took me 5 years and I finally got it. And I was so excited to be able to minister in the 805. For those of you who don't know, the number 8 stands for a new beginning, and the number 5 stands for by the grace of God. We're literally in the area code, biblically speaking, it really is just means a new beginning by the grace of God. I think that preaches for itself. Where do you go? 805. New beginning by the grace of God. I love it. Today's message is really looking at what is the church? What is the church and what is this church? I really want to dive into some scripture today and just talk about the church. I feel like, you know, we can go to a lot of sermons and messages and podcasts, but it's kind of rare when you hear what the church, the authority the church has. Number one, what is the church? The church. Not just this church, but all the churches of all time. What is the church? Zechariah chapter 3 really illustrates it well. I'm a story kind of person, and God speaks to me through stories. I never graduated the children's ministry. That's just how I roll. I love illustrations and stories from the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you. And I will clothe you with the rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they, everyone say they. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. What is the church? A, it's where God speaks. It's where God speaks. When you show up, I prepare ahead of time to spend time with God, so that I can say confidently, "Thus saith the Lord." I spend time hearing and discerning God. Not only that, when you walk into this place, you can hear a message that's word-centered and will be filled as if God is speaking to you, so you can hear what he is saying. God speaks. And I think it's kind of neat also, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's going to be words on the screen. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will start speaking to your soul. And it might not even be close to what the message is, but the Lord will speak to you in this time because you've taken time set apart from your daily life to hear from God. In this story, so many times God says, "And I say, I will, I." It's a place where God speaks. Even when he says, "Take this from him, put this on him," God's speaking, he's commanding. That's what the church is about. It's where God speaks. B, I love this one, where lives are redeemed. It's where lives can be redeemed. I love this story because Joshua shows up all covered in filth and soot and just disgusting. And it's really representative of what's happening in his life. He's filled with sin, and it's so evident, it's surrounding him. And Satan is on one side and God's on the other. And Satan's like, "Look how dirty he is. He doesn't deserve to stand before you. He doesn't deserve to be a priest." That's what's really happening here. He's accusing him, saying he's got sin in his life. He's not perfect like Jesus. And that God says, no, I can change him. I can use him. It's a place where God redeems. It's the place where God says, you know what? I don't care about your past. I can take that. I have a future for you. Let's exchange it right now. And see where we become God's hands. Something's very subtle in the story. Very subtle. It's so easy to miss. It's not just Satan, this man, and God standing there. There's a they. They are becoming the hands of God, taking care of what God is commanding. God says, I will do this, so do it. I will take care of this, so they will do it. He's saying, I will do it, but someone else is taking care of it for him. Someone else is initiating the action moments. And how does it end? The Lord stood by. See, God stands and speaks, but we take care of what he's speaking to do. That's the church. We are the hands of God. We go out and we initiate. We talk to people about Jesus. We do the things that God has called us to do. There's a vision and there's a purpose, and God tags us in to do it. We are the implementers of what he is speaking to us. It doesn't work without it. What would church be like if it was just God sitting in a room and no one else was allowed? Be a very small church. But God has the audacity to laugh at the devil and say, you know what? Not only am I going to redeem him, I'm going to have him do my job with me. That's what the church is. It's where God speaks. We can be redeemed. And we can step in and take care of what God says to do. That's what the church is of all time. That's the history of the church. That's it. All churches forever. I can't get more simpler than that. That's it. I can't boil it down. That is boiled down. That's the church. So number two, how to be a member of the church. Not this church, all churches. All churches have the same four things really in common across all religions, everything. So how to become a member of the church, the movement of God, the Christian church? It's found in Matthew chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they are fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. How to become a member of the church? How to become a Christian? A, you have to commit your time. It's a time commitment. At no part in the story did Jesus show up and say, I want you to join me for 5 minutes, and then I'll see you later. You're good to go. It's an open-ended, you're coming, and we're going to keep walking until I die. It's a lifelong journey. It's committing your time. I think a lot of Christians miss this aspect, to be honest. Are you willing to commit your life to follow Jesus? Remember, the title of the message is joining Jesus. You can't join someone and then like unjoin them moments later, right? We're called to a life of Jesus, but it's a commitment of time to do that. B, commit to Jesus. It's committing your time, but also committing to Jesus. They had a whole lot of other things going on, but they chose to commit to Jesus. Are you committing to Jesus? If you check your time, if you do a whole time study and see everything, all the minutes in your day and what you're putting your time towards, you can really see what you're committed to. Have you committed to Jesus? Have you committed to say, I want to walk with you, Jesus, in the morning and the noon and the night. I want to walk with you. I want to hear what you have to say. Committing to Jesus. And the next one's sticky because a lot of people don't like to hear this one. C, commit your finances. That's how to become a member of the church. Saying, you know what? I'm not going to just show up once in a while, but I'm going to say, you know what? I want to invest too. How are we going to reach more people? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is also. It's also an action of the heart. It really shows where your heart's at. The finances, I get it right out of the scripture. What was their lifestyle before Jesus called them? What did they do for a financial job? Fishermen. So were they still fishing as they walked with Jesus on the journey? Probably not. They were on dirt roads. Probably when they showed up at a water, they fished a little bit. We have a couple stories where they did go fishing again. But their income was on pause as they followed Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to go out and quit your job. I'm not going to either. But what this demonstrates is, are you willing to trust Jesus with your finances? Because they trusted him with everything. Are you willing to trust Jesus with even a little portion of what you got? D, commit to community. Commit to community. Jesus asked them to follow him, and what did they become? The disciples, right? When you say disciples, you immediately think of this group of guys who are following Jesus, right? That was their community. When you join the church, you're committing to community. It takes your time, and it takes time with Jesus. It's a commitment. Are you committing to community? That's how to become the member of the church. Number three, why this church? Why this church? First two are all the churches. No matter what church you go to, that's the same for all of them, across the board. But what sets this church apart? Why Lighthouse? Why in the middle of Montavo, in the middle of a neighborhood, why this church? I wanted to share a story that I thought was kind of interesting. I shared a little bit last week, but I want to bring it up again. So for those of you who don't know, we've been in, a drought for like a week or two? I don't know. How many years have we been in a drought? Years. No one even knows how long. It's just been a drought forever. How long? 7 years? It's been 7 years? This is the seventh year? This is the seventh year of the drought? It's a long time. I know. I didn't realize that. I want to adjust what I have to say now. 7 years we've been in a drought. So what's interesting, some of you don't know, some of you do because I said it last week. They were surveying all of Ventura County, and they were like, we need more water. That's just a necessity. We got to get some water now. Water bills have gone up like a little bit. If you're a resident here, you realize your bill has doubled to triple in the last couple months. And something interesting, so they've been surveying all around Ventura County, everywhere, and they surveyed the empty lot behind the church, and they found out that underneath this property is like the largest clean water reservoir for Ventura County. It's just pure water just sitting there. I think it's pretty crazy. It's like underneath our church, right? The source of water just sitting there, clean, pure, and the city needs it because they've been in a drought. Like, that's pretty crazy, right? And I kept thinking about, there's no coincidence that the time that we're working on our church and we're talking about purpose and we're talking about going out to our community and actually doing things. We have a nacho night tonight. Small plug, please be there. We have these things happening where we want to reach people for Jesus. And there's no coincidence what the Bible calls water. What does Jesus say to the woman at the well as the car alarm goes off down the street? What does Jesus say to them? Have this water and you won't thirst anymore. Have this water and you won't thirst anymore. I find it no coincidence that the city has deemed that our church location has pure water that the rest of the county needs so desperately to get out of a drought. There's a process that needs to happen. They had to identify it, they had to dig it, and they had to take it out. That's the process of getting this water out. By no coincidence does it not represent the church vision. We have to dig deep in what God has given us. We have to spend time committing to getting that. And then the kicker, we have to take it out to the city for them to get it. Point number three, God will, I went way too far. Why this church? Why this church? I'm too excited. I'm already out. Number three, why this church? Man, so much inside of me wants to get sidetracked right now and talk about the seventh year of the drought. I didn't even realize it was a seventh. I'm going to mention. Seven years? Seven? We're in year six right now? Year six of the drought. We're about to kick. We are at the epicenter of the drought, and we have the largest water supply underneath us. That's awesome. We're about to start year seven, and then year eight, and the 805. Something new by the grace of God. Just saying. Why this church? A, God will speak to you. I can't get distracted right now. God will speak to you. A, why this church? God will speak to you. God's already speaking to me right now. God will speak to you. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The first message I ever gave at this church was on Moses finding the burning bush. And as I was preparing my time for talking about why this church, why Lighthouse, why this church in this 805, God reminded me of the Moses story. God will speak to you. Exodus chapter 3. When the Lord saw that Moses was coming closer, he called to him from the middle of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Yes, here I am." At this church, God speaks. This church, God speaks. There are some crazy words I've been given in this church. There's no way to know other than the Holy Spirit. God will speak to you in this church. And the closer you get to God, the more he will speak. B, this church will equip you. That's kind of a scary thing to say, because sometimes we don't want to be equipped, because sometimes we have to let go of other things to pick up the things to be equipped with. It's okay, you can be quiet, that's fine. This church will equip you. Exodus chapter 4. Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand? What are you holding on to?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." Throw it to the ground. Moses threw it to the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Might be saying this is kind of a weird story, but I see it with Charlton Heston every year on Easter. I don't really get it, but I watch it. For those of you who don't know, the staff represents Moses' identity. Staff represents Moses' identity. See, he's been holding on to this identity this whole time, and he's never known how to use it. We at this church believe you have an identity. You might not know that you got it. You might not know that you have it, but you are holding on to it. We just want to equip you to utilize it in your world. Staff represents Moses' identity. All of a sudden, God awakened Moses to what he had in his hand. The staff represented the authority and the power that he had when he went into go into Egypt, and Pharaoh shows up and says, "No, you can't do this." And all of a sudden, Moses brought out his identity and said, "Yes, I can, because I'm a child of the King Most High." That's what's representative here. So when you show up to do something And the enemy says, no, you can't do it. You just have to pull out your identity and say, no, I can. Do you see the authority and power I have here? It's not mine. God gave it to me. Through this church, you will help discover who you are. I think that's one of the hardest aspects of our church, because a lot of people just don't want to really dig deep of who they are. Like, yeah, we could get up and talk about Jesus loves you all the livelong day, but I want to make sure you're equipped to use the love of Jesus in your world, in every person you meet. It's not good enough for you to have goosebumps and feel good and walk in your car and then go back to your life. That's not good enough for me. I would be doing my life an injustice if I did not equip you with who you are and help you to realize it has power and authority in your entire life. See, this community needs you. This community. Not only people sitting in these seats, but I'm talking about this as in this community. The everywhere you walk needs you desperately. Your community needs you. Because only you can win souls in your community. I can't show up at your place of work randomly one day and just start talking to people. They're gonna be like, who are you? Why are you here? How did you get through the locked door? We're calling the police, right? You have the full authority to walk into your place of work, of family, of whatever, and bring the love of Jesus to those people. Only you have that. This community needs you. Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous, meaning it had leprosy, meaning it's nasty. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. This part is not in the movie, because when they're making the movie, they're like, I don't understand this. This is weird. We'll just skip right on past this one. But it's critical to the church, to this church. The hand, hear me out. He puts his hand inside his jacket because God told him to. He obeyed. Pulls it out. He has leprosy. God said, see? Now put it back. And he puts it back and he's better. And then there's no explanation. It's like, what just happened? The hand represents what's on the inside of us being brought to the outside. What's really happening on the inside of you, God wants to bring to the outside. Why? Not to embarrass you, not to shame you, not to make you feel gross and weird and disgusting. God wants to bring what's happening on the inside out so people can see that God is a redeemer. That leprosy represents your past, your history, the gross stuff you went through, the hurt that you're facing. That's what it looks like to God, leprosy. And he says, I want you to bring it to the outside, not to show it off to people, but to say, my God is a redeemer, and you too can move forward in life. You too can be redeemed. You too can have this. I like it because if you line them up, in the first point, the staff having identity, if you show up with your identity, and God says, if they don't get your identity, show them how God redeems. And then the story continues on, but I really didn't include it. But on the next point, God says, and if they don't respond to the identity, and if they don't respond to I'm a redeemer, then they'll respond when the Nile turns to blood. So what does that have to do with anything? The Nile represents the comfort. The Nile represents everything that they want, status quo in their life, not to change. That's not in the notes. It was just extra for if you'd like to read the Bible. This church is all about hearing God. It's all about equipping identity, and it's all about releasing purpose into the community. That's what we are. That's what all we're about. All revolves around how God speaks to us and how to implement how God speaks to us. I don't know if I can boil it down a little bit more, but that's pretty good. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. Lord, we want to join you. We want to join you on your quest throughout this world. As you go from place to place and person to person, we want to be your hands as you speak. Begin speaking to us as wherever we go. Let us be your hands as we talk to people and give words of encouragement, words of wisdom. As we just go out and help people to see their lives changed. It's not about us doing everything on our own, but it is about hearing you and acting on it. I pray that identities would be found and purpose would start being implemented in this city. Just like the water, God. I pray that we take the time to find where the water, the source of life is in our lives. We take the time to dig it out, and then we take the time to implement it throughout the city. Our giftings and purpose are parallel to this water, this running water, God. Lord, begin speaking to us, begin ministering to us. Lord, I pray that today would be representative of taking a step forward with this church. As we take a step forward, that it's stepping into a new season of seeing people saved, of seeing new purposes released, of seeing identities transformed, God. Lord, I pray for a supernatural blessing over the nacho night tonight. As funny as that sounds, God. I pray that lives would see how much you love them. Pray for safety in everyone coming here, everyone here, and everyone departing from here, God. If you're here today and you're saying to yourself, you know what? I think it's time that I join the church. The Church of Christ. You're saying, you know what? I need to jump in on this. I've had Jesus visit me a few times, and it's been great, but I think it's time for me to commit, saying, you know what? I want to walk with you, Jesus, the rest of the days of my life, and I want to be in heaven with you. If that's you today, would you be so bold just to make eye contact with me? Nothing else weird is going to happen, but if you just want to look me in my eyes, and I just want to agree with you. Amen. Praise God. Love you, Lord. Let's all repeat this prayer together. Lord, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave after dying on that cross. Equip me today, God, so I can walk in what you have called me to walk in. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up and let's worship God right now. Let's let this be a time for you.